6:31 PM. Call the question, all those in favor? All opposed, carried. Resolution 24-469, move the Council of Zulak, second by Council of Kekinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held August 20th, 2024. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into open session, so we'll do a roll call once again.
Councilor Morley Haskam.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Kekinen.
Acting Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
And Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof?
Yes, I declare under planning matters 15.1.
15.1 for Councilor Zulak, okay. And Resolution 24-470, move the Council of Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby move into a public meeting at?
6:33.
6:33 PM. To consider the application for a zoning bylaw amendment to rezone the subject lands located at 171 Center Road as applied for by Lisa Coco. Discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. I have a list for this public meeting of who's in attendance, you just let me know if you are or not. I'm reading off this sheet, so I won't be able to look necessarily up at the Zoom. Some are at Zoom and some are in person perhaps. You've already heard the council and staff who are here for the public meeting. And apparently from J.L. Richards, we have two representatives, maybe you could introduce yourselves.
Good evening, members of council, members of staff, members of the public, my name is Allison Bucking. I'm a planning consultant from J.L. Richards, who's been retained by the township to provide planning advisory services.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else from J.L. Richards?
Yes, hi, good evening, it's Sarah Farrow, I'm an associate and senior planner with J.L. Richards, and here to support Allison.
Okay, thank you. Perizzon Area Planning Board.
Mayor of Council.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. And the applicant, Lisa Coco. Are you available? Oh, you're here, okay. You're in person, I'm so used to the Zoom now. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We've already introduced ourselves, and I'd like all comments to be addressed through myself, through the chair. And if Ms. Bucking doesn't mind, maybe she could go through the actual application itself, what's being expected here, and then we'll take it from there, just for the application, the description.
No problem.
Thank you.
So this is a statutory public meeting for a zoning bylaw amendment application in accordance with Section 34 of the Planning Act. This zoning bylaw amendment application applies to lands legally described as Lot 80 and 81 in Registered Plan 247, and they are known locally as 171 Center Road. They're located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Center Road and Middle River Drive. The subject property contains two existing dwellings, and Middle River bounds the property to the west, and surrounding land uses are primarily residential. The subject lands are two provisionally approved lots by the Parry Sound Area Planning Board, which resulted from the reconfiguration of two existing long and skinny waterfront lots, which each had frontage on Middle River. And through the consent, they reconfigured the lots through a lot addition and lot line adjustment to create one lot with waterfront access to Middle River and one inland rural lot with frontage on Center Road and Middle River Drive. The waterfront lot, which we refer to as Lot 1 in our report, has a lot frontage of approximately 63 meters along Center Road and a lot area of approximately 0.35 hectares. And the rural lot, which we refer to as Lot 2, has a lot area of approximately 0.34 hectares and a lot frontage of approximately 59 meters on each Center Road and Middle River Drive. The zoning bylaw amendment application itself is a condition of the consent to recognize the deficient lot frontage and areas for both lots. It should be noted that both existing lots did not meet the lot frontage or lot area requirements of the waterfront residential zone. The purpose of the zoning bylaw amendment would be to rezone the waterfront lot to a special provision zone to permit a reduced lot area of 0.3 hectares and a reduced lot frontage of 63 meters. It would also establish a 30 meter setback from the type 1 fish habitat in accordance with the policies of the official plan. The lot 1 would then be subject to all other requirements of the waterfront residential zone. For the rural lot, which is referred to as Lot 2 in the report, the zoning bylaw amendment would rezone the lands from waterfront residential to a special provision zone to permit a reduced lot area of 0.3 hectares and a reduced lot frontage of 59 meters, subject to all other requirements of the Inland Development 1, the RU zone. In terms of policy context, the subject lands themselves are designated waterfront in the township's official plan, and they are located within deer wintering habitat and are adjacent to type 1 fish habitat. However, as the rural lot is considered beyond the functional limits of the waterfront, it is subject to the rural policies of the plan. For the PPS, the subject lands are considered rural lands where residential development is locally appropriate as permitted. As these lots are undersized, we had to consider them whether they could accommodate private services in accordance with the policies of the PPS and the official plan. The PPS states that site conditions must be suitable for the long-term provision of services with no negative impacts when considering private septic and water services. The township's official plan also requires that the land division authority must be satisfied that the proposed development can accommodate the private septic and provincial setback requirements. An application was submitted to the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority to provide confirmation that both lots could accommodate a dwelling, a septic system, and a well. And further, they identified that additional measures may be required for Lot 1, as the 30-meter setback may constrict the location of the septic system. We are satisfied that this proposal is consistent with the PPS servicing policies and conforms to the servicing policies of the official plan. In relation to water quality, the proposed application will reduce the number of lots with frontage on Middle River where no new lots are permitted per the official plan, as it's eutrophic. As no new lots were proposed, the official plan did not require a water quality assessment. And further, as fewer lots are proposed along Middle River, the proposed development is not anticipated to impact water quality. However, as per the official plan, a number of mitigation measures are recommended to limit or avoid the migration of phosphorus into adjoining water bodies, including things like increased setbacks for the septic systems and preserving the vegetative area. Site plan control is recommended for both lots to ensure that the phosphorus mitigation measures are implemented for both lots in accordance with the policies of the official plan. As per the official plan, no development is permitted within 30 meters of type 1 fish habitat unless supported by an environmental impact study. As no study was provided, development will be required to be set back 30 meters from type 1 fish habitat as outlined in the draft zoning bylaw amendment. In relation to deer habitat, the proposed development will not be increasing the development potential of the lands, and rather will be reconfiguring two existing lots. Within the official plan, there is a policy that where new lots are proposed within deer wintering habitat, an environmental study is not required if The severed and retained lots provide a minimum lot frontage and depth of 90 meters, and any coniferous shelter and browse habitat along the shoreline is protected. As stated previously, the provisional consent did not create two new lots, and the existing lots themselves were undersized and did not satisfy that policy. It also appears that there's no coniferous vegetation on lot two, the rural lot. Therefore, it's our opinion that site plan control can be used to ensure that conifer vegetation and shelter is protected along the shoreline. It should be noted that there are two buildings on the property which encroach onto the neighboring property, which is a different property owner. The applicant has advised that these buildings will be removed prior to sale, and we are recommending site plan control to ensure that these buildings are removed prior to the issuance of a building permit. Therefore, it's our recommendation that the proposed zoning bylaw amendment be approved, subject to the requirement for site plan control, as it's consistent with PPS, conforms to the official plan, and meets the intent of the zoning bylaw.
Okay, thanks very
much. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Very detailed. We'll turn it over to, first of all, I guess ask the clerk if any letters or related correspondence have been received at the township.
Yes, the letter dated July 9, 2024, sent via email, was received by Ted Davidson, which has been included in the planner's memo.
It was just one letter?
Correct.
No correspondence afterwards? Okay.
Through your worship, there was an additional letter.
Okay, thank you.
Ted Davidson, that was received.
My apologies, that's dated August 18, 2024.
Okay, thank you. I'd ask the applicant, first of all, if she wishes to speak to the application or through an agent, if you have any comments, or do you think that summarizes everything? It's your opportunity to have your say now, if you wish.
They are narrow and long like that, you don't want a neighbor so close to you that and long driveway for the other one. So I thought it was a good idea, so.
Okay.
But, I don't know, what do you think?
No, that's fine. And I'm sure there'll be more discussion as we continue here, so.
Okay.
Any comments from council before we go to the public? Councilor Keckman?
Maybe just a technical question. On page 5 of 13 in your reports, second paragraph from the top, you're quoting section 7.11.3.3.2.1 of the official plan, and that section, starting at the top, shoreline development capacity, it speaks about council will consider an application for development for more than three new residential lots, and these practice, and when you follow through at the end of 7.113.3.2, then it says that these practices will include the following, and that's where you quote this 7.113.3.2.1, and I'm just wondering if the correct quote would have been from 7.12.3.2.1, where it's talking about new development of fewer than three new residential lots.
Not sure Allison could follow all of those numbers, but
it's not a major point considering that the parameters remain the same. It's the 30-foot setback, but I think that it's important that the correct section of the official plan be referred to.
Through your worship, I would need to double check that section of the official plan to ensure that's correct.
Okay. And while she's doing that, I assume you have it available at some point, or? Okay. Any other comments? I mean, the end result is the same. I think, as Councillor Keckin had said, it's just which is being referenced to make a decision, that there should be another section of the official plan that's referenced. Any other comments from council? Okay, at this point, we would open it up to the public for any comments. And we'll have people comment as well as we can to your concern. Sorry? Well, Patrick may speak later. I'm not sure if he has to speak at this point. So
okay.
It's a rezoning, which is the township's to deal with.
I do have one comment, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Sure, go ahead.
I heard through some correspondence that there was a question about the lapsing of this consent. It is set to lapse on the 29th of this month, and there was a comment made that the 20-day appeal period for this, if this zoning number passed tonight, that the appeal period for that rezoning would not be finished before the consent would lapse. My comment to that is that Bill 185 takes away the ability for neighbors to appeal. Only specified persons and the applicant can appeal the rezoning. And as far as I know, there's been no one make any comments or submissions, so there'd be no appeal. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'll turn that back over to Alice, and then I guess some comments on that about the appeal period.
Through your worship, as it is a condition by the planning board, I'll defer to the planning board
okay.
that the land be rezoned. It's my opinion that the 20-day appeal period would need to lapse. Like that would be the final enforced date for the zoning bylaw amendment, but it's ultimately the decision of the planning board.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Zulak?
Well, in a email from J.L. Richards, it says appeals to official plan amendments and zoning amendments are restricted to registered owners of the lands that the amendment would apply to. So unless the owner herself is going to appeal the decision of council, no one else can appeal it. That's my understanding.
I think what she's referencing, though, that there's still an appeal period, because that person might not want to appeal now, but maybe on day 19 they would.
The owner?
Right. If there's something in this bylaw that the owner doesn't agree with, it could be appealed. And so I think what she's saying is that there's an appeal period for that person to choose. Ms. Coco has said that she is talking to her lawyer as well. So if she does appeal anything that shows up in this bylaw, she should have the 20-day period. I think that's what she's suggesting.
Yeah.
Although she's deferring to the planning board. So. I guess another question I had before we go too public here, the site plan control. Because one of the concerns I think expressed by Mr. Davidson with site plan control can only control certain things. And I'm not sure that the demolition of the buildings is one of them. Do we have that clarified, what site plan control can actually determine? I guess this is to Allison again.
Through your worship, it's our opinion that we could use the site plan control as a tool to ensure that these buildings are removed prior to the issuance of a building permit, but it could also be done through a legal agreement or the removal, or through a holding provision, like which mentioned in the letter.
Is there any legislation, I was trying to look that up as well, for site plan control and what you can and can't do through that, I think the Mr. Davidson had mentioned, I don't want to speak for him, he's online, so I'm sure he can speak. But he'd also talked about you can't make it more restrictive than your zoning bylaw as it exists. So it, where is the legislation? I'm not going to put you on the spot here, but for the site plan control and what you can and can't do with it.
My apologies. Through your worship, it's in the Planning Act, what can be controlled through site plan control. So there are certain things that could be regulated through site plan control, and those are set out in the Planning Act.
Right, and that's what I'm sort of asking. Do we know what section of the Planning Act and what it actually states you can control? I know it's a research time here, but I don't have the Planning Act in front of me, but I'm just interested to know because...
Mayor Moore, instead of Ted Davidson, section 41, subsection 7.
41.7, okay, thank you.
It deals with the approval of the plans as submitted by the applicant, Mr. Mayor, and landscaping and walkways and driveways, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't control demolition of buildings. And we must remember that these buildings straddle a property line, and the site plan agreement, if it's registered, and my understanding is that the Township of McKellar rarely registers site plan agreements on title to residential properties. Is that correct?
That's correct. My knowledge of the history, yes.
Yes. So we have no legal mechanism to register the site plan agreement on a neighboring property for the demolition of that half of the building, for example.
So is there a solution other than the word of the applicant that those buildings would
what be? Mr. Chair, what I've tried to set out in my letter is that I understand that the lapsing period is coming up. Now, with respect to any appeal to the zoning bylaw, Patrick has got my comments wrong. My comments are related. The bylaw would take effect if the council was to pass the bylaw tonight, for example, and there was appeals, and the appeals were dismissed in the future, the bylaw would take effect as of tonight, not 20 days from now or whatever. My concern was the deeming bylaw that's been passed. There is a notice provision for the deeming bylaw, and it must be registered on title by the township. And it's not effective until it's registered on title. The deeming bylaw.
Right.
Patrick cannot stamp the certificates and the deeds, etc., that he needs to stamp without the deeming bylaw being in effect. And it has an appeal period. I was trying to set out in my letter, I'm sorry for the short notice that I had, but I only got the agenda on the Friday afternoon. But I was trying to set out some mechanism to allow this consent to go forward, taking it into consideration that I don't believe the deeming bylaw has been registered at the registry office, and we have the lapsing period coming up, and that site plan agreement in my experience, in my opinion, cannot control the demolition of buildings. And I believe it's Ms. Coco's intent is to sell these lots. So the site plan agreement would have to be registered now. But the problem is with registering a site plan agreement now is we don't have any building envelopes on the site. That we don't have any plans of a new waterfront structure. That would be the subsequent owner. Also, I did set out in my letter that you may want to restrict the uses of the rural. I've given that a farm on a 0.3 hectare lot is not necessarily an appropriate use. a camel, a group home, et cetera, et cetera. And we have many specific provisions outlined in Section 16 and in the site-specific zoning bylaws that restrict the use to, for example, to a single-family detached dwelling and accessory uses and buildings thereto. And I set out in my letter various provisions in Section 16 that do exactly that. Also, you will recall we have many site-specific zoning bylaws through the municipality that allow a walkway, for example, to the waterfront, docking facilities, and this bylaw would appear that you can't touch any of the vegetation between the waterfront and the building envelope. If you remember the Solway rezoning, I think it was settled on the basis of allowing docking facilities, stairs to the waterfront, as well as a path of a certain width, as well as all the lots that were in official plan amendment number 6, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor Moore, along the Middle River.
Okay.
So I did put in a suggested wording, but my only concern is that to deal with the lapsing period that's coming up on August the 29th, is we have to have some form of a mechanism that secures these matters, and that's why I suggested a holding law.
Councilor Zuma?
I would like to know what Mr. Davidson keeps referring to, we, in all of your comments. He keeps referring to, we have to do this and we have to do that. What do you mean by we? Is that including you, Mr. Davidson?
Okay. Through the chair, thank you.
Is that including Mr. Davidson, Mayor Moore? Also, Mr. Davidson is also saying it's his opinion that she isn't going to sell the lots. Is he into real estate now? Do we know that? How do you know what Ms. Coco's wants to do in the future with her property? And could you please ask Mr. Davidson how close he is to Ms. Coco's property? What has this got to do with him? How does this affect him? Has any of the neighbors said anything regarding this?
Okay, I'll let Mr. Davidson respond. Then I want to go back to the planners to deal with some of the comments that you've made.
Well, Mayor Moore, I'm only trying to be helpful. I'm not opposed to this consent whatsoever. I'm trying to find a mechanism to allow it to proceed.
Okay, thank you. Some of the issues that were raised, whether J.L. Richard, now representatives, wish to speak to those. You may have sent an email to staff, but I'm not sure that Mr. Davidson would have received that. So you countered some of the things that he was pointing out, and maybe you could just elaborate there on some of his concerns.
Okay. Sure, I can jump in here, Mr. Mayor, to elaborate on some of these. So first of all, I'll just remind council that we are dealing with a zoning bylaw amendment application. So some of the other matters, while important in terms of the lot creation, and the consent and figuring out all of that are important, that's not the matter that's on the table before council tonight in terms of the public meeting and a decision on the zoning bylaw amendment. So a couple things on this zoning bylaw amendment. In terms of dealing with the consent, that would be the deeming bylaw, finalizing that and timing. That's all dealing with another condition of the consent. And that would be with the planning board. So with respect to the buildings on the property, I believe it's at the southern end of the property on adjacent property as well, and the use of site plan control to be able to ensure the demolition of those buildings. Looking at section 43.7, I believe it is, of the planning, 41.7 of the Planning Act, That is in fact where those conditions that a municipality can require a property owner to do, and typically that's the installation or the erection of certain facilities under that section. However, there is the ability to approve plans or drawings for future development of a property. So that's subsection four there. And that's where I think we would want to see those existing buildings to be shown as to be removed or to be demolished in terms of being able to approve future development. So whenever someone is proposing to erect buildings on the property, then that site plan control agreement would need to be entered into, and the site plan drawings to be approved that would show the demolition or removal of those buildings. The holding bylaw, in fact, would still not guarantee a removal of those buildings at this time or kind of prior to a future building permit, because the holding bylaw could be put in place now, the properties could be sold or dealt with later, and it's not until someone goes to apply for a building permit that they're going to need to remove the condition of the hold. So we do feel site plan control is the appropriate mechanism to use that can, even if the township hasn't in the past registered those agreements on title, that doesn't mean that's something that you can't do for this application. So you can certainly avail yourself to that and have it be registered on the property. And that is a mechanism that we see and have seen in other municipalities used successfully in terms of removal or demolition of existing buildings. And I can't remember, there are a few other issues there. Allison, maybe if you remember if there was any other ones to be addressed in terms of the zoning, maybe the other uses, if you want to jump in on that.
Yeah,
and the walkway.
Yes. So through your worship, for in regards to the range of uses permitted within the RU zone, Mr. Davidson is correct. There is a wide range of uses that are permitted, but they would be restricted in terms of the lot size. So some of those uses might not choose to go for develop on a 0.3 hectare property, such as it's quite small. So they'd be restricted in terms of that size. If council wishes to, for safeguarding purposes, implement a further restriction to limit it to just residential uses on the property, that's something they can do as well. In terms of the walkway, as we don't have an environmental impact study, we can't, or drawings at this time, we can't include provisions that would permit a walkway or a dock, as we don't have that environmental impact study, nor do we have drawings which can show where they'd be located and the potential impacts.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Keck.
So just for clarification on when the buildings that are across the lot lines to the neighboring property need to be removed, that's not immediately, that's at a later point in time if a building permit is ever apply for?
And who's your question to?
Anyone that wants to answer.
Yes.
Just so clarification for the applicant.
Yes, so through you, Mr. Chair, to the councillor, yes, that would be correct in using the site plan control mechanism. One alternative consideration would have been to require it through the consent approval. Obviously, that's a different time and that application has already occurred. But that would be a mechanism by which they would need to be removed prior to approving the transfer of the lots or the lot creation. So again, that has now passed, but in the future, if we see that situation come across in the municipality where lots are going forward for consent, that may be a future timing to be able to get that in there earlier than coming through to a building permit, which would be through that site plan control stage.
The building has been there over 50 years.
I'm just going to start you over just because they can't hear you.
Oh. Yeah, the buildings, they have been there over 50 years. And I talked to my neighbor been there forever, so he doesn't mind. So, and I said they are in bad shape anyway, so I'm not going to be against to tear them down anyway, so whatever, I just need some time. I can't do it in a month or so. I have to get rid of my stuff. Yeah, so.
Questions from council? The site plan control, I'm just interested, that goes with the property, so if the properties were sold, that would still apply to the new owners?
Yes, that is correct. And that would be also through that registration process on title. That's where that would pass through to future owners.
Okay, thank you. And you did say that you've run into situations through site plan control where buildings have been removed, demolished?
That is correct, Your Worship.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions from the public?
One question, Mr. Mayor. I mean, we have this property fronts on Center Road, and I believe the waterfront lot. I put a comment in about the section of the bylaw that allows more than one driveway. The rezoning, I'm assuming, looked at the access to the waterfront lot, and there was a recommendation at one point in time that the staff report be undertaken. I don't know whether that's been done or not.
I think through the report from the planners that was done, that was confirmed. I think that was in your report. Yes, go ahead.
Through you, Your Worship, yes, it was confirmed in a report that both properties have driveway accesses.
Okay, thank you.
I was just wondering, Mr. Mayor, if they were just going to be limited to one access rather than they can now have three on Center Road, according to the bylaw 95-12. Two for the first 30 meters and one for any additional 30 meters. And I believe the lots are 60 meters in depth.
Yes, that's my understanding of the bylaw as well. Yes.
Doesn't that go in the site plan?
Sorry, any other comments? Councilor Zulai?
Building is only under 150 square feet. It's tiny old. And the building is under 120 square feet. It's tiny, little, old. Nobody wants it anymore after me. So, and the driveway, one driveway is from Middle River Drive side and one is from Center Road. So it's a corner lot.
Councilor Zulai?
I honestly think we're making a big deal out of nothing. Like, how much does it cost?
That's what I think.
How much does it cost to put a driveway in? How are you going to put three driveways in on the little lot? I mean, really, I think we're making more out of this than it needs to be.
There are driveways already for both lots.
Okay, I'd ask the planners as well. It was a suggestion that Mr. Davidson had made for Schedule A, rather than just a sketch, to actually include the survey itself. And that seems to make some sense. It's much more detailed, and it would help staff in the future for measurements. You're amenable to that, and I think he even included one in his most recent correspondence, where he combined the sketch that you had provided, I think, to Schedule A, along with the survey. Would that be acceptable to do something like that? This is to
Your Worship. Yeah. That's acceptable with us. We have no concerns with that.
Okay, thank you. We can do that.
It takes about 10 minutes to demolish that building.
else from the public? We have resolution 24-471. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular session at
7:12 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We had adjusted at the beginning of the meeting the agenda to move a number straight here. 21.2 on the agenda up to just after 13, motion to review a previous motion. So we have resolution 24-472, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-66, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 95-12 with respect to lands legally described as lots 80 and 81 on registered plan 247 in the Township of McKellar, District of Parry Sound, 171 Center Road, first and second reading, further read a third time and passed in open council the 20th day of August 2024. Discussion from Council?
Yes, certainly a lot of technicalities have been dealt with, but I think the bottom line is when it's all said and done is that we've eliminated two very small waterfront lots, approximately 30 meters each in frontage on the water to 63 meters, one lot, which can now accommodate a nice home in the future. So when it comes down to the final product, I would be in favor of it.
Okay. Any further comments? Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-473, moved by Councilor Haskell, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the August 6, 2024 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. Matters. We report from Gerald Richards regarding consent application B20/2024 Greenwood. Resolution 24-474, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby receive the planning report for consent application number B20/2024 Greenwood from J.L. Richards and Associates for information purposes. Before we actually vote on that, maybe again we could ask the planners, since they're online still, I think, just to comment on the report itself, or maybe whoever wants to go first, maybe Patrick can speak to it.
Through you, Your Worship, I'm happy to go first.
Thank you.
So as I previously stated, we were retained by council to review and provide comments on the consent application referred to as the Greenwood consent. That is under review by the Perry Sound Area Planning Board. The application proposes to sever a 16.6 hectare property, which is formerly a historic commercial resort, into four lots, including the retained, and create a new private road. It should be noted that since our letter was provided to council, a revised application was provided to the Perry Sound Area Planning Board yesterday. The revised application appears to remove the private road. However, as the revised application was received yesterday, we would require additional time to determine if our comments have been fully addressed. And I'm happy to go outline some of our concerns with the initial application if council desires.
Well, I think that'd be good, but maybe we could deal with each one separately rather than try to remember all six or seven. You mentioned the road.
Yes.
And I just wanted an interpretation initially with the right of way. You quoted a couple of sections of the official plan. There's also a reference, I think you used the word existing, which goes with one word there, but not with all the words. I'm concerned, I guess, if the interpretation is that we can have no new rights of way, no new private roads, then we have no new development. I'm just concerned, I guess, that that's an interpretation. That's never been the interpretation, that we can't have a right-of-way or a private road into new development. So I just want a clarification from you that you talked about another. And since then, of course, they've revised their application, which concerns me a little bit, too, because now we're looking at three entrances in a short space. They're all 20 meters as required, which is good, but our official plan also references when there's multi-lot development that we prefer an internal roadway, and now we're going to have three driveways out onto, whereas I think that was based probably on the interpretation, misinterpretation perhaps, that we couldn't have a right-of-way to those three lots.
To your worship, that was our interpretation of the official plan, was that new private right-of-ways were not permitted, but extensions to existing private roads would be permitted, and that was our interpretation.
But now that you've heard what I've said, I'm just wondering, is that still the interpretation? The way we have looked at it is existing rights-of-way and the 180 meters beyond that are the existing private roads, but that new rights-of-way certainly and new roads are permitted. Otherwise, we wouldn't have future development such as we're considering tonight. I don't need you to change your interpretation. I'm just putting that out there as from the township perspective, that's the way we have interpreted the official plan. And I don't know, I mean, Patrick can speak to this too, and maybe a representative from Mr. Green can speak to it, whether we want to continue on with one entrance with rights of way to the other the three lots, or whether they want three separate driveways now.
Okay. I am Mr. Green, but can I comment on that?
Sure, go ahead.
On the original draft, I was unaware of what the planner had said there, so I just took it as what I knew, and now that I read the update and then I had changed the drawing for the three driveways, I thought that was very excessive, because that just adds more cost to everybody, which would turn more cost to the end buyer or user. But also, I'm clear-cutting beautiful hardwood bush and putting three driveways in 90 meters. And I'm tripling the cost of the hydro costs for no reason, and I'm tripling the cost of putting three driveways in viewing distance of each other, where one with a branch off would be sufficient as far as what I'm used to seeing, or you know, or what we're used to driving on. So I didn't anticipate that as far as a drawing correction at all, but we do have the problem. also now neighbors have to look out for three cars coming out of three different driveways instead of one. There's multiple things that I could say about that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Other comments from council? I just want to make sure that we're all interpreting. We have in the official plan, I don't have the exact number, I'm sorry, where we prefer the internal roadways when there are multiple lots being developed. So I think your original was the one that made more sense to us. But since then, we have this planning report that we have to deal with as well. So I'm not sure if Alice wants to speak to that now at this point, or whether she would change her interpretation, or whether she needs more time.
Maybe I can just reply briefly, Your Worship. So certainly when I look at that policy of the official plan as well, which I believe was referred to section 5.8.2.2, it does talk about existing private roads, registered right-of-ways, minor extensions to those. So if the roadway or access on the property right now is not one of those categories, if it's just a driveway to one commercial property, it would be the access to that property. But if it's not providing legal access to other properties, then it wouldn't be considered necessarily one of those categories to then permit additional lot creation and development off of it. So we can look into that a little bit further, and especially if the application has been modified. And as Allison and Dave highlight in the report too, it's not that it can't be supported completely. It's that an official plan amendment to look at the merits and maybe using one access as opposed to multiple, and how that interrelates with other policies of the official plan as well as PPS. And an efficient use of infrastructure. So an official plan amendment might be an option if it doesn't conform with this policy.
Well, that's, we have to clarify, because we feel that it does conform and wouldn't need to be an official plan amendment. Councillor Peckman.
And the reference that in the official plan regarding sharing access to is 5.8.2.13. In some circumstances, it may be preferred to share driveway access between adjoining property owners to minimize the number of entrances on existing public roads.
Yeah, no, that's good then. And my concern is, I guess, that over the years and through previous planners, we've had development in the township on new rights of way, numerous, many private roads. That's where they all began. And they weren't extensions. I think the misinterpretation is perhaps coming with that word existing, which may go with one of those words. It may describe one, but not necessarily all of them. We've always interpreted, as far as new development, that yes, you have to give a right of way to get into property. We've done it fairly recently. It becomes a private road, yes. There's also a reference there to the private road that's just to the east of this property. In a sense, it's a private road, yes, privately maintained, but it is part of it on our road allowance. So it is public use if they wish to use it. I'm just saying it's rather, I don't know, just hearing this tonight, it's rather interesting that I guess our previous planners have interpreted it differently. We've had development, and now this is suggesting that we have to do an OPA to get further development. I'm not sure that's the road the council wants to go down. Okay, that's number one on the list of concerns. Number two, back to Allison, I guess.
So number two was that we needed a sketch that met the requirements of the Planning Act. So the sketch that was provided in the original application did not show the bearings and dimensions of the proposed severed lots, nor did it show existing buildings and structures. We needed a revised sketch.
Now, I'd ask, I guess, the powers that be, we've had a revised sketch. Maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe that's a miscommunication there. Patrick, do you... Is Patrick? Patrick still on there?
I'm still here, Mr. Mayor. A revised sketch was provided that showed at least most of the setbacks of the existing structures and definitely all of the existing structures on the lands. I believe the only setbacks were missing because they would cross other structures or other lines, making the plan unreadable. So there was a revised sketch that showed setbacks of existing buildings, also showed the approximate location of the existing septic on the lands, and the dimensions of the lands across the road that are also owned by the applicant. Thank you.
Now, is it possible, I just ask you, I assume that wasn't shared with the planners. That just came in recently?
So through your worship, we received a copy of the revised sketch yesterday. And so I have seen it. I was just referring to the concerns on the original application.
Right.
And so if I'm going to take it back, I still need additional time to review the materials. However, it does appear that the revised sketch addresses those concerns.
Okay, great. Thank you. Number three.
We were missing an archaeological assessment. The land we'd be proposing to be severed is within 300 meters of a water source, and it does not appear that this portion of the property had been developed. We wanted to see some sort of archaeological assessment or information confirming that the site had no archaeological potential to be provided in support of the consent applications.
Okay, I'll ask Patrick to comment on that. I don't want to put you on the spot here, Patrick, but you have commented on each concern, I think, of the planners, just so the public can know what you had said.
My only comment to that is that, in my experience, I've only seen archaeological assessments done for subdivisions. I've not seen them triggered as part of a consent process.
Okay, we're just gathering information here, so number four, unless the applicant wants to speak at some point too, so.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't know of anything in the area of archaeological findings has been reported. Not that I'm aware of. So that caught me a little off guard.
Councilor Kecker?
And I believe I've seen it was MNRF mapping where they actually had laid out sites of archaeological significance, and I think there's only one in McKellar Township, and it's not in that area.
Okay.
It is not something that I recall in my 25 plus years of having required in the past, but maybe there's legislation now, I'm not sure, but it does seem unusual for any new development to, it's an option, I suppose, something that could be considered if it's a high risk area, if there have been other artifacts found perhaps in the area. But. Okay, number four.